any physicians here, please remain afterwards at 12 o'clock. We want to discuss their CME, their continuing medical education credits, and we'd like to have a little discussion about other things going on for the physicians. I am Marty Katzenstein. I'm coordinating the sessions. And when I talk about CMEs, the person who did all the legwork and did it is our chairman, Dr. Eddie Leibovitz, who's director of gastroenterology and liver disease at New York Medical College and Westchester Medical Center. He's also a shachan tov of mine. Not only does he live near me, he sits near me in shul, and yes, we do not talk too much. And it's really a pleasure that Eddie, who has done a lot of research in these areas, and particularly in this session, Dr. Leibovitz has many interactions with the communities in Riverdale, Westchester, Muncie, Rock All Over Square, and other areas. So this is one of his many areas of expertise. And I turn over the meeting to Dr. Leibovitz.
Thank you very much, Dr. Katzenstein. First of all, I'd like to thank Metropolitan Jewish Geriatric Center who are kindly sponsoring the medical track at the convention this year. Dr. Katzenstein already mentioned that for CME credits, one needs to fill out their evaluation forms as well as the sign-in sheet. I want to thank Olbaum Shlita for coming under some pressing time circumstances. As I'm sure we will see, Olbaum is a great expert in these issues, and we're very fortunate to have him. He does have to leave immediately at 12 o'clock, and he has kindly offered to answer any further questions via fax or telephone should they come up. Today's session is entitled something along the lines of interaction of community organizations, healthcare organizations with physicians, meaning Hatzolah and Bikufolim. I hope people will be filtering in. We were concerned that that title doesn't really reflect very adequately what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about issues that interface between physicians and these organizations, although they don't have much in common, so the one Sahar Shabbat is this interface. By way of introduction, I just want to briefly express from the physician point of view the tremendous hakaras hatov that we have for these community organizations. It was mentioned last night at the session the tremendous opportunities for Chesed and Klal Yisrael, and we all admire and respect our colleagues in Bikufolim and in Hatzolah who do what they do day in, day out without the restriction to their hours or other commitments and receive no remuneration for it. And it's actually a great machayah for us who do what we love to do, but make a decent parnasa doing it. I can tell you that not only is it the physicians who admire these organizations, but our colleagues in the hospitals also recognize the unique nature of what Hatzolah and Bikufolim do. Sometimes exasperated, I'll just give you one brief anecdote that happened recently. A trauma patient was being brought in by chopper from the Catskills, I happened to walk into the emergency room the following day and was greeted by the head nurse who said to me, you know what your friend Rabbi so-and-so did this time? So she proceeds to tell me that he radios in with the chopper that he's bringing in a trauma case. They tell him, we can't clear you for landing because we already cleared another helicopter to land. So he radios back, take me first. So she says, we can't take you first. We cleared another chopper. So he radios back, I'm out of gas. So, you know, it could be a little exasperating, but, you know, from our side, we recognize the tremendous efforts that these organizations do for Klal Yisrael. I just want to recognize our Rav, Willig, who was joining us for the session. So we'll proceed to the cases. I first want to introduce Dr. Steve Schuster, who is an obstetrician gynecologist in Queens. He's the director of patient safety at New York Hospital in Queens, and he will present the first case. The format today is there will be three case presentations, and then Rav Oldham will respond, and we will have time for questions. We're going to limit each case to 1.5 hours.
Thank you.
The first patient is a patient who comes in labor. She calls, she feels she's in labor. She has a complex medical history. She calls her doctor and told there's a covering doctor on call. She calls Bika Karlin and calls Hatsola. On the way to the hospital, she asks if they contact her doctor, not the covering doctor. Bika Karlin reaches the primary doctor, who is at his nephew's Chasana. He has no time off for 6 weeks. He's been looking forward to the Simcha, and he's looking forward to some rest also. Because Colin insists that the patient is distraught and that in spite of the doctor's feelings that it may affect her medical condition if he's not the one to show up, the doctor supports the excellent qualities and qualifications of the covering physician, whom he's made aware of the patient's particular needs and special circumstances. This is relayed to the patient, who remains unsatisfied and frightened. And certain questions come to mind among many. One, must the doctor come? The primary doctor. Second, it's Shabbos. Covering doctor is in the hospital. May he come, permitted to come. The covering doctor is already in the hospital. What role does the doctor's state of mind or physical condition play in this? And lastly, and most pertinent to today's discussions, what role does Hatzalah, Hakolim, or such an intermediary organization have in this situation? Are they shlichim? Are they intermediaries? Are they advocates of the patient? What role do they play?
I just want to mention that Amar Mekhem is available from Rav Oldham.
Likely, when the woman signed up as a labor, did the doctor have a policy, as many of the obstetricians have, that they sign a waiver that if they're delivered, they may not be delivered by that doctor? Many of the physicians I know in private practice have a very explicit waiver which the patient signs.
Interesting. I've never seen such a waiver. I understand the question. Many doctors, and there are two sides to this. One could say the patient was told one of three things. Nothing. Never told that the doctor has anyone to cover for them. Number two, the patient was told that the doctor has doctors covering on occasion for simchas and for certain circumstances. And lastly, the patient was told, I have a specific coverage arrangement with Dr. X, Dr. Y, Dr. Z. Please see them so they're familiar with your case and you have a relationship with the doctor. So one may choose any of these sides. I'm not sure if Rav Oldham wants to address all or any of them. His general remarks may address the most pertinent of these. But one would say that she has some understanding that occasionally the doctor has a coverage arrangement.
Yes.
Rav Oldham.
Well, good morning, Rabbi Sai. It's very gratifying to plow to see professionals in the field of medicine come together for the sake of halacha. Plow is living in times where there's so many competing fields, outlets, trying so hard to attract audiences in every area of endeavor. So it's very impressive that people come together for the sake of prayer and Hashem Shammai. Basically, the presentation of Dr. Schuster concerning whether, I guess to put it in a nutshell, is there ever an opportunity, is there ever a time that a doctor can refuse really to treat a patient? And in specific circumstances that he had mentioned, a patient who was recommended to a particular doctor, that I told him about Dr. Cleland, and the doctor said they have someone to cover for him, and so on and so forth. And the question, I guess, boils down to in general, may a doctor basically take a break from his daily routine? Now, this is not to suggest, Rabbi Sai, that a doctor can never close his office to take a break. The question basically is whether a doctor can ever refuse to treat a sick patient who specifically asks for his help. And if he does, then the question is, does it have to apply in all cases, irrespective of the severity of the patient's condition? So the truth is, if we take a look, there is a number of chuas you see here, quite a bit here. We can't do them all comprehensively, but we'll point out chalokim of them. Just to mention that there was a particular rov by the name of Rabbi Yaakov Yehuda Pollack, who is the son of a doctor, Yerushalayim. His name was Dr. Meir Pollack. And Dr. Meir Pollack basically had a practice that whenever he was summoned during his free time, he refused to treat patients, because the doctor sensed that if he interrupted his rest and helped those patients, now he'd be unable to function properly in the next day. But at the same time, it weighed heavily on his conscience, and he felt quite guilty, because this might be in contradistinction to a seemingly Mefurziga Halachim Shulchan Aruch that basically says that any time a doctor refuses to treat, he might in fact be a Shoyfet Domin. And let's take a look at the Halachi. Here we have a number, the first item here that we have to Shulchan Aruch Yerodeya Anamar Mekremis. Go through it very quickly. Mechaber Pasim Shulchan Aruch that not that Toyo Rishus L'Roi Tal Rafais, as we know that, U'mitzvihi U'bechlal Tekuach Nefeshi, for a doctor to heal. If a doctor refuses to heal, how raise their shoyfet domin? Now here is the clincher. The Kanarik says something very enigmatic. The Kanarik says, "Atila yeshle mishi yer plenum." This is very, very indictful. In other words, even if there is someone else to heal him, but if you were approached, this particular doctor was approached, it would seem that the Kanarik says, "He's menei atzma." If he refuses to treat, it's considered to be a shoyfet domin. Literally translated, a murder. And the reason given is because shaloi min ha'koil of the mezekel misrapish. Just because there are other doctors doesn't mean that this absolves you in particular from administering medical help, medical attention, because who knows who the shliach is? You might be the shliach. You were approached. And Shulchan Aruch goes on further, and then he says another thing. Umilo yisatik b'refua, also we have to explain that. Shulchan Aruch says that one should not engage in being a doctor in refua, elimkein hubaki, fine. In other words, it would appear from the Shulchan Aruch that if there are bigger doctors than you are, they have no right to treat. It seems that only the top doctor, quote unquote, who should determine that, but he's not another child. Well, the part of the doctor who thinks maybe that he's the best doctor, that maybe goes into the category of Shem Roivim, I don't know. He says, Shem Loi Kein Arei the Shaifat Domim again. So as you see here, the second item, basically this was the Shiloh of which is asked in Moyash, and it's printed in many Mekonim. The source of this was really in a Sefer Zakar many, many years ago that was given out by Maria to the Yahrzeit of Rabbi Tal Sholti. Since then, this tshuva went on a lot of places, also in a printer called Shivila HaRafua. It was put out by the Lanyado Hospital in Netanya, and ultimately they put out tshuva to Moyash, but it gleaned really from the sources, really from the Sefer Zakar of Tal Sholti. Well, let's take a look very quickly here. Rabbi Yashiv answered, this is just a part of things, which is the first part, which was the second issue. What's the idea of a doctor not being allowed to treat unless Eishom Godel Memenus? What does that mean? Because a lot of doctors are out of business. Rabbi Yashiv says right here, he says, Vinei Bereish Devorot Heyer Kvoteros Yeromei Bechalau Eich Rishoy Reifei Rogi Elatit Rifu. How does the common doctor, what gives them the right to do it? The Mokim Shish Reifei Mumche Begodel Memenus Havri Nifik Birdei Yashom Zivdei Paskin Shosol Reifei Lerapri Vomokim Shish Godel Memenus. Rabbi Yashiv says, "Mistavre, it is manenu that today in our time, shekol reifa mismache idn v'idonim v'besefer gevoyel refuah." They basically they follow a protocol, like higher learning, college, university, medical school, and he has to get a license. He's not allowed to practice atu makabel to rishon makabel, goes through testing and so on and so forth. Harei legabe mikrim regilim. So, in average circumstances, he certainly would be considered to be qualified based upon the rules and the regulations, because this is regulated today, this manazeh in our time. So Memele, he says, for the common situations, things that are not really complicated, there will not be any distinguishing difference. The people right by shall tell professor, doesn't make a difference. He called him professor, that's what he's called a professor. So whether he's called a professor or he's not called a professor, doesn't make a difference. But between a common ailment, there are things that basically come across the table on an average situation with the right for royal, wouldn't be a major difference. You don't need that extra special knowledge. So there's no problem. Just for general doctors.
course, he continues to say that if there are complications, there is a chi for a doctor not to take it upon himself. A doctor should never be arrogant to think that he knows it all. And he points out the mila of the doctor, Godel Memenish, still is at least involved to the extent that if you do have a problem, you have some doubts, don't take it upon yourself, but rather, in fact, do consultation, ask someone else who might know just a little bit better, and that would be in compliance with what the Shulchan Aruch says, to make sure that if there is somebody Godel Memenish, leave the decision to someone who is the Godel Memenish. Just to point out, if you see here, the Sitzel Ezer says the same thing, so you don't have to go through the same idea, but the same, the Tshuva in Shalva, the Tshuva Sitzel Ezer, we have in number 3, basically was asked the same Shaila. Also, we got in the Halakha, how can any doctor practice medicine today based upon the Shulchan Aruch says that you have to have the top doctor. They only have the right to practice if Ein Shom Godel Memenos, as Sitzel Ezer says again, it's really in the break that we have in the second paragraph. There's Manenu, he says, Shesh Ayin Pukakas, Mem Shaltis, that there's a government eye. You can also be arrested. The can be plea when you look. Be charged, arrested. So any right is a shisot, the shoyge, midarke, refu, amukabolam, any doctor really who sways or strays from accepted medical practice is kidua. So therefore, it says, Bechol, kol do, in all of such situations, shapri, yesh lahati, bikinah, which rapis, it's already kazeh, ashiyesh lo gidoilum amenis, he says, and so on and so forth. So that's the same thing. Obviously, he says, he continues further in the bottom, and this is interesting thing that you say that Gedolei Yisrael think on the same line. Lezer points out, not come over, the doctor should take his profession very, very seriously. The panos are really on the side as well, but understanding that the welfare of the people is kuach nefesh, and therefore, whenever he has any doubts, Mamish the exact same thing that Yashu points, he should not take things upon himself. He should not say, I'm going to risk the decision this way or that way. He shouldn't try to take any risk, but rather to try to consult whoever possible. So today it's a very small world with so many different ways of how people can get in touch connect with anybody, even across the globe, to find out pertinent medical information. And therefore, that has to be done. All right, so the idea, coming back to the original question, though, this is really an aside. The original question, again, was what the Shulchan Aruch says, it would seem that a doctor would never have a right to refuse treatment for any patient. And he says, again, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Loshon Vafilu Yesh Lemishi Yerpoeno, even there are other doctors available, but if you are approached, it seems that the Shulchan Aruch, the doctor, has no right to refuse treatment to a patient. And he says, Shulamin HaKoyel Odom Zerchel Israfis. Why? Because not from anyone does a person have this choice. Maybe you're the Shliach. There could be 100 doctors around, but you don't know who the Shliach is. And if the patient approaches a particular doctor, you have no right to wash your hands. Then maybe you're the one with the Shliach. I got work at the Sfar of Shulamin HaKoyel Odom Zerchel Israfis. The Sister Liaz and Mishin Shuva points it out. And he says that the reason this behind that is that a person is not privileged to be healed by everyone. It's a very interesting thing. Now, there's millions of doctors around, and yet you're not really privileged. Who knows? This is based upon, because the Gemara says about the Dora Dachman Hayim Mar Aleph. It says that when the Rabbi Shlom sends the Gzeira of the illness upon a person, that the Gemara says simultaneously the decree is also that he will not recover until Yom Ployni, Shor Ployni, until a particular time with a distinct medication. Anything the Gemara adds with a specific doctor. Very interesting thing, the Gemara of the Dora. Therefore, only a particular doctor would see him is able to affect restoration to health. It's a very interesting thing. That's the point. So you have to a little bit explain this idea. Now, as we see, this seems to be a very nice phrase. It might seem something very nice in Ashkofa. But yet, it has really halakhic, strong halakhic ramifications accepting this idea. And when we take a look here, if you see number 4 on top of the sheet, I'll just explain this a little bit by having a little bit of background. Top item. There's a very, very interesting halakhic. We know that, there's a halakha in Hilchos Nedarim, there's a mother and there's a mudr, which means that someone is allowed, of course, to make a vow prohibiting other people to benefit from him. So let's say there's a doctor, for some reason he made a vow against a particular person, that person should not be allowed to benefit from him. So the doctor is the mother, he makes the vow, answering his nechotim on a mudr. Question, this mudr, this other person becomes a choyer, becomes sick. And the question is now the doctor allowed to heal that person, to take him on as a patient? After all, this person is offered the Isser Hanor, based upon a nether, to have Hanor from the doctor. So, of course, he cannot have any other Hanor. This is the offered all the Hanor, all the benefits, right, due to the strength of the nether, of a vow. But the question is he allowed to heal him? So the Mishnah basically says in the Dorm, yes, that a doctor is allowed to heal a patient, but not to heal his animal. Interesting thing. In other words, the vet or something like that, would not be allowed to heal his animal. That's considered conferring hanor. There's allowed to heal the patient as a person. And the Gemara asks the question, Hashavah Saveh is also mutter in the case of Nadar. In other words, if someone is not allowed to have hanoa, then I'm allowed to return his aveda. Healing a behemoth should also be as his aveda, right? I'm healing the animal. And the Ram tells us, we're talking about that there are other doctors. So I don't have to, it's not shavuot aveda necessarily on my part. Other doctors can do the same thing to heal the animal. What about the person? Why do I have to heal the person then? There are other doctors. I made an Isser Hano on the person. Why should it be incumbent upon me, right? In challenging the Isser of Neder, why do I have a right to heal that person who is also Bahanoa from me, and there are other doctors? Says the Ram, because Loim and Hakoil of the Mazesh of Israel. So Mamela is my mitzvah. Take a look at the Ram very quickly. Take a look at it. Varan is drawn down on top of the sheet, number 4. It's Ella Rapuit Nefesh Gufai, right? When the Sukhmet is around, the Shinikse Reife, where the right, assets of the Reife, the property of the Reife, Asurim ala Chayla. The doctor assured his property on the Chayla. Shimhochali Rapa Behemto. So the doctor is not allowed to heal the animal of the other person. Ukishie Shom Reife Acha. The Eloi, if not, Shorul Rapoisa. The Hotanan, Machzir Eloi Avedosoi. You are allowed to return as Aveda, Venoch Ashova Gedoy Lamazu. So why are you not allowed to heal the animal? There are other doctors to do it. And yet, even though there are other doctors, but Rafuas Haguf, I'm allowed to do. I'm allowed to heal the person who is really Osir Bahanoah from me. Why? He says, Rafi Lahokim Rafay Rafuas Nefesh Bahaina Gufoi. Rafi, because Shaloim and Hakoil, Odom Zoichilis Rafois, Bahoki Isabir Shalom. So here we have again another very strong idea of Loim and Hakoil and Zoichilis Rafois. Which means to say that there's something special about a particular doctor, that if he lets him feel that you're his doctor, that you should heal him, even the fact that you answered your hanoah upon that particular person. And to show you how far this idea goes, the philosophy, Shaloim and Hakol and Mezoichelis Rapoi, it comes at a Shalom Rebbeisa when it comes out on Shabbos. And you have this situation in Shabbos, and you have a Jewish doctor and you have a Jewish doctor, non-Jewish doctor, also they're attending to a patient. So there's a non-Jewish doctor able clearly to take care of the patient, and there would be no need for a Jewish doctor to have to be Mechal Shabbos. So you have to be standing there at the same time. And you're able to lend a hand, should you want to. The question is, would the right thing be to say, listen, it's Shabbos, there is a Goyish doctor there doing it, he's very able, willing and able, and capable in doing it. Should I, the Jewish doctor, be Mechal Shabbos just because I'm there? The interesting thing is, we have it in Sukta Leza number 5, you see, you have over here, and he says, very quickly, he says, Kemoike, he says, Ho'omur, Belatis Achil de Akum, the Jewish Shabbos to a Goy, Kishimuzumalum Fanenu, when you have him right there, the Enshum Ikr, there'll be no delay, so certainly you can use the Goy, he's right there. No question of telephoning a Goy, which might delay or compromise the health. You clearly have a Goy. Nerehu Dudapki says, only use the Goy, he says, you go to Mechalel, he says, Bahavoka Saner. Insignificant situations, turn on the light, this kind of thing. You don't need a doctor, a Jewish doctor, to do that. Anybody can switch on. The doctor switching on the light will not make it any brighter than a goy switching it on. So these side type of benefits, these side benefits, use a goy, it's fine. But turn on the oven, Labashel Kadayman. I will be Nageya la Hagoshes, people refui, but when it comes to medical attention, Aide Haroifa, Kulial Memoide. This is what he says, Kulial Memoide. The Gam Kishiesh Roifa Akum Nizum Lefanenu. That if even that you have a Goyisha doctor ready there, nevertheless, Einloy L'Roifa Yisraeli, the Jewish doctor, Hamazuman Gamkein, L'Menoyas Asum L'Chalal Abukein. The Jewish doctor who's prepared there should not say, there's a Goyisha doctor there. Why should I have to be Mechal Shabbos? The Yeshloy Lokush Yosef, King of the Sitzel. The Jewish doctor rather should worry, instead of worrying about Kil Shabbos, he should rather worry about the dictum, L'Haloka Hapsuka, Haklolis, the general accepted. Dictum, the roifish meneyat asmoi milarapois, areza shepherd domin, batila yeshloi, misha yer poenu, the layman hakos and zerkulis rapois. Very fascinating thing. The sister leg of your adventures. You have your stock in the sister leg. Just imagine, let's say you're in an emergency room, right? And there's Deutsche doctors there. You happen to be standing there, but you know you can be of help also. And you say to yourself, listen, I'm not from Jew, I don't know about you. For me, it's shabby. Nefesh is the Shabbos, of course. It's not necessary to go to your doctor. According to the Sifter Lezer's opinion, as you see here, he says that no, you should do whatever you can to treat that patient, even though it's a Shabbos for the Shabbos, based upon the halacha, as he says, because you have something special to contribute. You have something special to contribute, as he says, because the loyim and hakoyim of the Mzeichel is Rafi.
They're very interesting.
It's only Pitzurach Nefesh.
Okay. Yeah, very good point. There's a truth in the Yashim. It's Mashmah for most Rishayim, really. It's only in the case of Pitzurach Nefesh. That's what's Mashmah. Because the Gemara Nadarim that we just brought about, where the source is from the Ram, that the Ram Taka quotes that the Madir is allowed to confirm medical attention on the one that's Otter Bahanoah, based upon Loyman HaTayil, the Rishayim talk about that it is Pitzurach Nefesh. Although, they say, I know you're asking, Pitzurach Nefesh is to everything. What's the Chiddush you say? Then you're outright allowed to be daiket any other area of the period. What would be a kiddush if it's a case of Pitzurach Nefesh? So that's the case. No, you're in the solution to that kashuk. But for most of the shayin is master, we're talking a case of Pitzurach Nefesh. That's one to show you very interesting. If you move to the left over, the Moshe's take also, the Moshe on this idea of Leumen HaKoyl of the Mzeichel Shrapris, the idea that there's something very special about you being the doctor. The Moshe time is, you know, there's a whole shayla in the Shreinim and the Rishayinim, whether, of course, Pitzurach Nefesh is Zerka Kol HaTayla Kula. Some Shabbos, there's no question, there's no having in it. Clearly permits to be Mechal Shabbos for the sake of saving a life. There's no question. Shabbos, is that Hutzah or is that Hutzah? Hutzah means that Shabbos is totally suspended. There's no Shabbos. With regards to saving a life, there's no Shabbos. It's Sunday, it's a Monday. That's called Hutzah. Hutzah means it's overriding. Which means basically, yes, there is Shabbos, there are technically Yisurim, but nevertheless, Pitzurach Nefesh overrides. But you just remember, there is Shabbos element here. Will be the Napki and Aloha. Either way, you'll have to be quote, Machal Shabbos. So it's the Napki if it's Hutzah or Hutzah. The Moshe says, because based upon the fact that it is Hutzah, it means the doctor does not have to make himself still available. In other words, he says you can close your cell phone, you can still close your answering machine, and that you should do so. You should do so. And let them call other doctors. Let them call the doctors. Because being that it's Hutzah, if Pitzurach Nefesh is Hutzah, he says, that you don't have to make, if you're in an area, if you're the only doctor, you have no right to do that. If you're in an area, there's hundreds of doctors. So this doesn't have to be you. The Moshe says very clearly, he says, close the telephone, he says. It's right in the middle there. He said, as a matter of fact, he makes sure, he said, make sure that your number is not listed. Very interesting, he says. Then right in the middle, he says, misfire telephone. It's in the middle, it's again, I'm saving time here. So I'm jumping around a little bit. Well, misfire telephone, sheyuchlu limsa yeh, so yeh roshum, he said, should not be roshum the pinkas say our telephone. He said, should not be able to find it. Should not be able to find it. Make yourself unavailable, he said. He says, maybe those you know that. He says, all he says, don't take your beeper line. Very interesting, he says. He says, this is the last quarter of the item number six here that we have. So the market, you can oid roifim, ain't all of shum chiyav, you have no chiyav, that you should be available, he says. Oh, but here, look, he says. Luckily, elu shaboy eskoy. But what happens if someone did reach you? He did reach you. You're not successful in avoiding it. Here, Moshe says, so refer him to other doctors. Here, Moshe says, luckily, elu shaboy eskoy, you do have a chiyav. Nitam, the loid mekol odom zoyche lehirope. Aval haroife yeshol of chiyav shishtavul shlo yavoyu elu. So again, Rav Moshe also, right, refers to that victim, refers to that idea of loymen hakol odam zeichel l'shrapis, at least to the extent if you were already summoned. The doctor was summoned, you should not just push it off. So the doctor was called on Shabbos, it would appear, right, at the cursory reading at least, it would appear that you should go, you should take the call. And not send it to somebody else. Why? Because loymen hakol odam zeichel l'shrapis. You saw this in Tilead, it says if you attack it there, right, and you have a Goyisha doctor, you should also be involved and do whatever you can, because women are clothed in the Zerkel Shrapos. There is a slight modification on this idea. To what extent is your achrayus that you be the doctor to heal? Women are clothed in the Zerkel Shrapos. And that is some rabbrayus you have. You turn the sheet on the side in the Tokus Yakut, very close to your place, which was in Switzerland many, many years ago. He's really one of the original contemporary places. Today, to know that so many Chalke Jewish foreign, but all of them build on on the Chedushim and on the stuff that had already written before. But he was one of the original Pim and the Mephatiskos and so on, so on and so forth. So he has this far here, I'll just say to you, his idea is that Loimen HaKoyl the Mzerkos Rapis, because he raises the basic question. He said, Loimen HaKoyl, so maybe if I can't also, who says that you're the doctor? Maybe Abraham, and maybe the other one was the better doctor. Or should be the doctor, be Yishwef. Why should it be incumbent that you adopt the Tam Sophic that you should be a Machal Shabbos? It could be just the opposite also. So his opinion is, Loimen HaKoyl the Mzerkos Rapis only applies, he says, not the time he called you. He saw your number and he called you. Because he believed in you. That's the Tokus Yankus approach. The Yankus approach is that the idea that you have something special to offer, possibly Men HaShemayim, is because this patient believes in you. And if he called you because he believes in you, then that might itself be a sign that you have something special to offer to him. So that narrows it down a little bit. You mean that if somebody calls you, you don't know who he is, you don't know you, but he saw your name, or somebody just threw a name at him, that might be a difference. That might also make a difference in the event of the child of the Bikachoyman issue, where the patient had the cloud that doesn't know a difference between one doctor and another. Bikachoyman just threw him a name. Hey, you know, this is a good doctor, he'll come to Shabbos. But the patient himself has no feeling one way or another. Doesn't mean that the doctor, therefore, based upon Loimen HaKoyl, that he doesn't necessarily have the seat to go. The patient doesn't have anything with me anymore. He's given a I, as a doctor, know my associate is as good as I am. So if Bikachoyman is saying I'm the best, I know as a doctor my associate is just as good. He'll do a great job in this situation, whatever the situation is. And then possibly then you don't have to. You don't have to come and run off. But more importantly, let me just show you here. The Maskona Lamaita Velayashiv's opinion, and he's talking about Pele Shesh Boiskona versus Pele Sheim Boiskona. Let's turn the sheet back. And this is two small little paragraphs, 8 and 9. This is Velayashiv's conclusion. He says, Lepize, number one. Here makes a distinction. If the choyl is yesh boisakona, ein biyodoi, Rabbi Yashu's opinion. Lifter tatzmei gam kishesh roi tamachelis. He has no heter, he says, to absolve himself, even the other doctors. He says, ach ze poshit shazadin baharoifa, in whom it's rashel, and if he's negligent or lax, melahagish loi ha tipul hadorish oiva al loisamoid al dam reyefa. Rabbi Yashu's opinion. Again, according to Chalkes Yaakov, would appear davke lechayre if he believes in you. That's what it would seem. But Tamazoi, because you happen to be there, or you happen to be the one that was called for any reason, would not be a machayev. Well, the Yashu doesn't go into that. What about if it's not a chayre sheish b'sakona? Average people, average medical attention, and you're at period. And you happen to be called. Says Rabbi Yashu, this is the next paragraph. The homily on near it. The following conditions, if these following conditions are existent, meaning when you have a doctor who is and there's no shortage of doctors, and also about Dover Borah, and if you know he can find another doctor. Gam Hamikra, also the incident Asher Elov Huzman Areifa, so it's not a life threatening situation. There are other doctors as well. Just because you are called, he says, Ashal Kiyotse boy, by the way, if it's Mesukin, we say Hazor Zem Shubah. The Kai Gavna Rishoya Haroife, Loyle Kabel, Sakhoyle, Bismanshu, Otis Bakilotoy, Menichotoy. So he's resting, he's eating, he's sleeping, or taking time off. He needs that for himself, so then there's no fear. So, as you see here, the difference of opinion. And finally, is one of the Chashi Poitim Yashkelavi, with Ravadia Hadayo, he Bechlau throws out this whole idea. And if you want to show Kedai just to speak from one of the spectrum to the other. This whole idea, let's take a look here at number 9, as we end with this segment. Omnom Atoroya Noichi, he says, Da Ikru de Milfe, the basic is his premise, he says, Ein Kan Mokim Shai Leklau. Da Dover Poshe, to my opinion, says Ravadia Hadayo, the Zemasha Omri, this which was said, Kolamenea Asmoim Larapois, whoever refuses to treat, Hareza Shoyfet Domim, Einze Elkishumenea Asmoim Lagamre. His highness is Bechlau. When you refuse to treat, period. Sheena Reuze Bechlau Apoisoi Bishum Eisuzman. Avon Bureuze Larapois, Elishu Osuk Bachila Lahavri Asmoi, taking time off himself, Bechengam Bishino, Shemalgish Asmacholish, Bachas Mankot, and after a rest period, Yana Lechoyla Becholoroton, Bezelo Inema Hareza Shoyfet Domim. So basically, let me just to summarize the situation. The way it comes up in Pleskin, as I say, we conclude after the segment after with this. And we come up to the following. That regarding the issues, again, when a choyler summons really a patient, so it turns out this is more or less everybody in agreement. That if it's a choyler shamber, when a doctor is resting or he's eating, he may decline to see a patient, provided there's no emergency, there's no shortage of doctors, and a patient can easily find another physician to provide care. If there's the slightest chance of danger to life, then even if there are other doctors available, Rav Moshe says, if you were called, he says, you should respond. Rav Yashiv should respond. Chalkes Yaakov should respond if he really believes in you. If you can forward him to other doctors and he not necessarily believes in you, then you can do that according to Chalkes Yaakov. By the way, the question points out also that if a physician is a specialist and more experienced than others, then he should not simply, in his publication voice of should not rely on others. He's required to respond to the patient. I just want to point out that based upon the Chalkes Yaakov and so on, you have here interesting things.
Rav Neuer, in the Machabed of Shabbos Kol Chosos, pointed out that if a doctor is specifically called because the patient knows the doctor is not going to charge him, that's not a reason for him to respond. The Loyman Hakoyev Dam Zoychem Shlapa, just because he calls specifically, is because, again, because he really wants your services for the sake of you being that good doctor that you are. But if he has ulterior motives, it stands to reason that if there are any other ulterior motives, it doesn't have to be doctor because you're not going to charge. But basically, you have to be just a little bit more convenient and so on and so forth. So when a doctor is recommended, let's say, by Bikur Cholim, not by a patient, and the doctor knows the associate just as good, the doctor would not necessarily have a fees to come, nor if the patient has any ulterior motives, the doctor does not have to come if there are other doctors available.
We have time for a few brief questions, so please keep your questions to the point.
My name is Rabbi Yaakov Schwartz. I'm from MJHS, one of the sponsors of the convention. We have a project, Yidid Nefesh, which helps doctors and rabbanim together serve home families. The question I have for you is, you've outlined very nicely what the doctor's obligation is, either engage or withdraw from the patient. What about a rabbi? What about a halachic advisor? An halachic advisor, do they have a similar obligation as a doctor to say, perhaps I should refer to a different rabbi, but then if they're balabas and they're coming to that rabbi for advice and have ne'emonis, like they mentioned from the Yaakov, is there a parallel obligation to the rabbi that you describe to the doctor?
It would seem that rabbanim don't have the exact obligation because they're not dealing A with license and that situation. Dealing with shilas that in most cases are not answers and not usually also on the second on the moment, and sending that forward to someone else who's competent halakhic authority, assuming someone if you feel given a better halakhic authority than you are, would be noteworthy. The second thing is because you see the Rishonim, all of them, the Rishonim and the Akronim, they pointed out that one of the main reasons really why that a particular doctor should have his skills is because Loyman HaKoyev Dam Zoychem Shlapa. I'm not sure it says the same to Rav, that Loyman Koyev Rav Adam Zoychem Leyonis Leshailus, even though the Gemara does say, cannot in the Birav that the Talmud don't tire it. In that, the other Gemara said that the Talmud is allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, even according to go to Eretz Ha'amim, according to some opinions in the Gemara, because all the great with human Eretz Ha'amim, to take it a little bit later. So what about fail tire in Eretz Yisrael? Sit in Eretz Yisrael. My Rebbe The Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael is not exactly for me. But the Derech Chal should make a difference. Someone else is probably the boost. So the rest in four is someone else is loose.
Well, quick thing to
the
congregation.
Unless he's on the payroll, you know, there's some problems.
Dr. Gelfers?
It seems that there's many institutions in there. The only time almost any time they apply that. Patients who you rarely have a relationship with, you think, I'm very comfortable with you, I'm going to go to somebody else. Maybe I'm my doctor. Another patient becomes.
I know you, I've heard of you, I want to go with you. Because you talk about it, now you may be sick and say, no, I know you're the only person. Right, right. So, again, according to Chalk, as John Kivai, then that's probably, you're able to sort of say to get away with it, because you just heard about it, but you and your knowledge, if you really know in your heart of hearts that there are certainly somebody else you could forward them to that you know is very capable, unless the patient himself, like, knows you, has a relationship, or feels that, you know, that there's something special about you. But just because somebody threw out a name, you can throw out another name. If being that you know that this other person in fact is just as qualified, you can throw out that name.
Now, first of all,
he's the chayav sheish lo sakana.
Right now, it's not sakana, but
long term. Well, again, there is no shortage of doctors and whatever you have to do.
Okay, but then the situation comes when he comes in with a heart attack, you feel my doctor. And then, if that time when that happens,
might be something else. Might be different.
No, at that time, I can finally do him a favor, get him another doctor.
I don't know. But again, he believes in you at that time. Again, it's kind of a convenience because you have this relationship, or that because he believes in you. That's just simply because, you know, this is just, I'm just going here. They believe in you more than anybody else. I'll ask you maybe. In other words, if you can clearly somehow another competent doctor who's capable, very, very capable, and you feel that it's just coming to you just because he knows you, but not because he would believe he's doing better than anybody else, or he has a specific trust in you that sometimes you can sense in a certain patient doctor, you know, they have this thing. So then do whatever you have to do.
Just one question from the floor, a written question. Pikuach nefesh situation on Shabbos in the hospital, and the doctor is called. Does it make a difference if the patient is Jewish or non-Jewish?
They're very into situations. The place can talk about and discuss this a lot, and we have to be very careful because it's a Shabbat at Evo, which means we live among goyim, and therefore we have to treat them. Things that can be done with shinuim, we should do that, of course, with shinuim. That's even machlokes, even regarding the yidden, between the machaber and the remor. The doctors who have to be machal Shabbos on Shabbos, so maybe the goyim's not aware of this. Machaber Shulchan Aruch says, first of all, we should always look for yidden, not for goyim. The remor passing that we should take the epsha of the shinuim, we can do it with shinuim, without compromising, without delaying. Because we can minimize, whenever we can minimize for Shabbos, we should do so. And remote opinion, by the way, even to look for a goy, that's a remote opinion. If you have to summon someone, summon a goy, with a taz is against that, because the taz says that we are choshish that people will underestimate the importance of the pikuach nefesh. They'll say that a yid is not allowed to be in the chalas shabbos. They'll say, look, I saw they were looking for a goy. Someone collapses in a shul. And what they do? Oh, they were looking for a goy. But they come to the wrong impression, they say, last time what happened was a goy, so now let's look for a goy. And then the next time in such a situation might come la'osid, it'll be a real situation where you have to do it immediately and requires immediate attention. And so the Shulchan Aruch Rav says that we, in fact, should not go out of our way to look for goyim. But Yidden, in fact, Shmuel says, the good of Yisrael, Hador, Tariz, and Yeshivach, and so on and so forth. And certainly, so the Yid, there's a Yid there available, but he should certainly do it. He says, let me drop out on the Shabbos. But a Koponim, so this is the basic situation. So again, the basic.
A goyim in the house.
So we would treat it today. There's a neveva, but again, here zikr, everyone would agree when you can be mishana. Half of that is mishana. Mishana should try to be mishana. Never reduce the issue to a two rabbanon.
Last question.
How
to
treat
Yisrael?
If the
other
is supposed to
maybe even feels more comfortable sitting shyless not to take certain applies, it happens all the time. And it's clear that maybe another Rav has broader shoulders than he has. The marriage of Allah is very common that one Rav would refer to another Rav. It happens every year to be having shot in the Rav. It happens in many, many shyless. And so I don't see any reason for that.
For the next case, just to introduce, Rav Waxman said last night that all of the topics for the convention are introduced by crisis. Should have crisis, solution crisis, through this crisis. We didn't make it as a crisis, the medical halacha check. But I think this next case is in the crisis realm. And I'd like to introduce Dr. Elliot Samet, who is a neonatologist and pediatrician in Passaic, who is going to present this case. For the next 5 minutes, I'm going to talk about a subject that affects everybody in this room. I'm going to tell you right now that I am not a bucky in this at all. No certain things. We're going to talk about child abuse. We're going to talk about mistreatment and neglect of children. We're not going to really touch about sexual abuse. And there is elder abuse. So let's just, first of all, have some definitions. And this is going to present more problems for Rabbi Elbaum. That's right here. Abuse means that there is serious harm that happens to the child. An abused child in which his parent or a legal guardian for the child was responsible for that child inflicts serious harm on the child. That's what abuse is. What is maltreatment, which includes neglect, is that the child's physical, mental, or emotional condition has been impaired or is in danger, imminent danger of being impaired. New York State, as well as every other state, has very specific laws about this. And they have mandated people, they're called reporters. Who is a reporter?
The reporter is physicians, nurses, social workers, rabbanim, teachers. As a matter of fact, the list of 50 people. Almost anybody can be a reporter. Now the thing is that according to New York State law, even if I'm suspicious of any maltreatment, I am bound by law, just by having reasonable cause, just by my feeling, I am bound by law to call the Child Protective Services. Now, I'm not going to go into what kind of physical abuse can be seen. That's not for today. Whether it's head trauma, skin injury, burns, fractures, emotional things, that's not for right now. But what is for now is what do we do about it? So, not all cases of child abuse are reported by physicians, which is contrary to our mission as primary care doctors is to promote the health and welfare of children. So what are the barriers to the physicians identifying and reporting child abuse? Number one, lack of knowledge. During my pediatric residency, we were hardly schooled in this area at all. Continuing medical education from time to time. So because of this lack of training, our history taking is not good, and therefore the conclusions that we reach might be based on our own personal experiences or, our gut feelings, which might be wrong. Number two, there's a psychological...